You know, and so here the Pharaoh didn't know the Lord. And, you know, a few years back I read this and it just jumped off of the page of the Bible to me. For the Pharaoh just said, I do not know the Lord. What a scary comment. You know, and for all of us tonight to be able to know that if we're born again, that we've been born again by the Spirit of God, that we don't have to ever make that statement. We can know the Lord in a personal, loving way. That's so awesome, you know. And so he wasn't able to see. He said, I don't know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. And we find that when we don't know the Lord, when somebody doesn't know the Lord, they're lacking revelation from the Lord. Because revelation is directed and directly linked to obedience. It's linked to obedience. Pharaoh knew not the Lord because he had no intention of being obedient to any other god. He didn't want to surrender to any other god. He didn't want to be obedient to anything. He expected everyone and everything to be obedient to him. And so that's where our obedience is directly linked to the revelation that God gives to us. He reveals things to us piece by piece. See, do you desire to be obedient to the Lord today? Is that our desire? If so, he will give revelation. He will give revelation to you and he will provide direction for you. You see, God is so good that he won't give us further revelation or further direction if we've not been obedient in what he's already told us to do. I brought this in tonight. This is, you know, this is an inbox. Have you ever seen an inbox like this? You know, actually, you know, my inbox, this was stuff on my desk. I could have piled this, like, you know, way up here, but I was afraid I'd drop it all over the floor because I'm kind of clumsy at times. But this is an inbox. You know, you have all this stuff. It just stacks up one thing at a time, one thing at a time. And, you know, it gets up to a certain point, and you look at it, and you just kind of give up. You throw up your hands. You go, oh, man, I know there's something in that pile I might need, but I don't have time to find it now. See, God doesn't do that for us. See, often people say, I just don't know what the Lord has planned for me. Well, and oftentimes it's an issue of whether or not you obeyed him the last time he gave you some direction to take. See, he is so good that he doesn't keep stacking up our spiritual inbox. He doesn't keep saying, okay, do this and then do that. And he doesn't just keep adding to it. He gives us one thing at a time and then waits for us to be obedient to that. And sometimes we're not real happy with what he gives us, the direction he gives us. So we kind of like, you know, kind of put our fingers in our ears, la, 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 you know, we don't want to hear that. And we just go on waiting for the next thing. And God's kind of like, okay, when you do that, then I've got more for you. I've got more blessings. I've got more I want to pour out, but he doesn't keep stacking up our spiritual inbox. He gives us one thing to do, one assignment, one memo, one piece of information, one directive, and then, like I say, then he waits. He waits until we do it before giving us another. Well, why is that? Well, excuse me, Matthew 11:30 says, my burden is easy. He declared, my load is light. See, that inbox is not an easy burden, especially as it gets higher and just continues to pile up. But he says, my load is easy, my burden is light. The verses before that says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, a lot of times that's what we're really looking for in this world is rest. And a lot of times we're so busy working for what we think the Lord wants us to do that we miss our rest. We miss out on that rest. And so God doesn't, he gives us one thing at a time, and he doesn't overwhelm us or overwork us. He just doesn't overwork us. And I've heard people, you know, in the past, oh, I'm just burnt out. Well, that's probably because you've been doing things in the flesh. You've not been obedient to what the Lord's called you to, because his load is easy, his burden is light. There's nothing that you can do for him in service unto him that should be a burden. When you see in the Old Testament priests wore this linen because they weren't supposed to sweat. Because as you serve the Lord, there shouldn't be a sweat to it. It should just come. It should be a joy to serve the Lord. And so many times we make it so much of a burden. We create so much more in our inbox than what God's given to us. And so we need to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, reveal to me, am I doing that? Am I putting more in my inbox than I should be putting in? Just ask him that, and he will reveal it to you. He'll show you. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And if you need wisdom in some of these areas, just ask the Lord, and he's faithful to show us. Then it goes on in verse 3. He says, so they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go the 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And so, although it was God's intent to bring his people out of the land of Egypt and into the land of promise, they were to first go and sacrifice unto him. They were first to go and just kind of acknowledge that he was their God. He was their deliverer at that point. But in denying even this simple request, however, from the Pharaoh, it really reveals the hardness of the Pharaoh's heart. And the hardness of his heart is going to become more and more clearly evident as we go through these verses and see Pharaoh's response to Moses and Aaron. But then in verse 4, then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. So Pharaoh's saying, what are you doing asking for 3 days off? Get back to work. We've got bricks to make. We've got, you know, these big tombs to build. We've got these pyramids to build and all this stuff. All these cities. Get back to work. What do you mean 3 days off? You know, they didn't have holidays for the Israelites like we have today. You know, 4th of July and all this. And, you know, all these holidays people end up getting anymore. You know, it seems like one after another, you know, going on. They didn't have that. And when they asked for 3 days away, Pharaoh was like, just incensed about it, made him angry in that sense. Get back to work. What are you doing taking the people away from their labor? You're teaching, they're telling these things, they're going to get lazy. Verse 5 goes on, and he says, and Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor? So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. Wow. Straw was an essential ingredient for making these bricks. Straw is the thing that kind of held it together. I had the blessing of mixing some concrete the other day in a wheelbarrow. And, you know, you dump this powder in the wheelbarrow and it's all this sand and then, of course, rock in there. Put the water and you mix it up and everything. And if it didn't have the rock in there, it wouldn't really solidify. It needed every one of those three elements, the sand, the rock, and the water, in order to form together. Well, that's the way it was for these Egyptians with brick. They needed the straw to hold the brick together. You know, you take mud and you can kind of cake it together, and no matter what you do with it, if there isn't anything to hold it together, when the sun hits it and dries it out, it kind of starts to crumble. And so here the Pharaoh says, don't give them any straw. Make them go out and get their own straw. So not before they would bring them straw to put in the mud and make it. So they, even though it was an essential ingredient, nevertheless, Pharaoh decided that Moses' request for 3 days off was just the last straw. That's the last straw. He couldn't take any more. So the children of Israel would get no more. That bypassed some of you, didn't it? But no, that's all right. So they wouldn't give them any more straw. So verse 8, we continue, it gets worse. And verse 8 says, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. So not only did they have to go out and get their own straw and bring it back, whatever they could find, they didn't reduce their quota of bricks. So if they had to make 100 bricks per person every day, they still were required to make 100 bricks. Even though they had straw or not had straw, they had to do that. And so there's, although their straw was eliminated, again, the quota of bricks remained the same. They had to make this thing. So just how many bricks did the children of Israel make? Well, historical records indicate that they made enough bricks to build a wall 10 feet high, which is about from floor to ceiling here, and 5 feet thick. That's a little wider than two of these things here. 10 feet by 5 feet that would have stretched from Seattle to New York City. That's how many bricks historically they say they made. That's a lot of bricks. That's a lot of them. And there's archaeologists have found that there's a certain place where in some of the buildings in Egypt where all of a sudden the bricks got less straw. All of a sudden they find that there's less straw at a certain level in some of these buildings. And so there again, it proves the Bible to be true. You know, the Bible just proves itself with all kinds of facts over and over and over again. And so, but they made a lot of bricks. They had the taskmasters there with the whips pushing them on. You're not meeting your quota. Get busy. You got to work harder. You got to work longer. Here we go. You were lazy. You wanted to go sacrifice to your God, and the Pharaoh just wouldn't hear of it. So he goes on. So verse 9. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. The King James there says vain words. Vain words there. And Pharaoh referred to Moses' request for the people to go worship as vain words. In other words, a waste of time. They just want to waste their time going out to this God that I don't even know. He can't be greater than me. I'm the Pharaoh. And so it would be a waste of time. Why are they crying out to go worship and sacrifice to this God? They should be doing everything for me. And so that would just be a waste of time. And so Pharaoh's mentality, there we go, prevails even today. You know, our society says, well, you know, I don't have time to go to worship. I don't have time for devotions. You know, I don't have time to go and have communion and that kind of thing. There's work to do. You know, there's work to do. I got things to do. Well, I don't have time for all of that. But here, you know, is this mindset that is prevalent throughout history. Even more so with Judas. Judas had this same mindset when Mary was anointing Jesus with anointment, which cost a year's salary. What did Judas say? In John 12, he said, that's a waste. He said, that money could have been spent on the poor. That money could have been used to do some good work. He didn't like seeing that anointment that Mary had saved up for, what, like it says, a year's wages, and for her to anoint the Lord with it. Judas said, that's a waste. And that's ironic because later on, Jesus would refer to Judas as the son of perdition, or literally the son of waste. That's what Jesus referred to him to, because the biggest waste is that of wasting the opportunity to worship the Lord. That opportunity just to worship him. And it's not only when musicians are up here and you're sitting there and songs are on the screen. It's not missing that opportunity through each day. Just to worship him, just to glorify his name, just to have that time of, Lord, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus, you know, for the blessings, and just finding that good in part of your day, you know, to worship him and to study and those things. And, you know, back east in different places where they have moles that live underground and they tunnel under there, people have moles in their yard, and, you know, they're really prevalent on golf courses and things, and I think there was a movie made about that one time. But, you know, what was the name of that movie? Okay, yeah, I knew there was a movie about it. I was trying to think of it all week. I'd never seen the movie, so I couldn't think of it. But when they have moles, people that have those try everything to get rid of them. They stick their hoses down the holes to try to flood them. They toss little smoke bombs down, try to smoke them out. They stand there vigilantly over their holes with shovel in hand to no avail. They do this and all that. And I read somewhere that in one night, a mole will often dig 300 feet of tunnel. 300 feet of tunnel. And as their experience proves, the mole's efforts are not in vain. Those tunnels that they're digging are not in vain, for even though they're digging under the surface where they can't be seen, nobody can see them, when the smoke bombs are thrown in and the water is turned on, they can escape through this network of tunnels and bomb shelters that they've dug. They get away because they've dug their tunnels. And so some might say, well, what a waste of time staying up late and or getting up early to study the word. What a waste of time that is. What a waste of time to go to church on Wednesday night. I mean, Sunday's bad enough. But that's because they fail to understand that those things, getting up early, staying up late, going an extra time to church, going to home fellowships, those are tunnels. Those are bomb shelters that will protect you from the inevitable attacks of the enemy. The Bible's clear. He's our adversary is like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. The disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast this demon out of this man? And Jesus said, this kind does not come out except but by prayer and fasting. In other words, we are to live a life of prayer and fasting. We're to live that kind of life. Excuse me, if we wait to lay our spiritual groundwork until the challenge is there, it's usually too late. We wait till that attack hits us and, oh man, what do I do now? But see, if you've dug those tunnels, if you've spent some time early or late studying the Bible, if you've spent some extra time going to home fellowships and potlucks, all the good things that we offer, you'll be able to address those. You'll be able to escape like those moles. But we won't be able to do that, what we could have done if we would have dug them. We wouldn't be able to be who we might have been because we have no tunnels dug. We have no tunnels dug under the surface, those places in the dark, in the morning or late at night. We got to dig those tunnels. We got to spend that time preparing ahead of time. Because if we don't, it's going to be too late. If we don't, we need to get ahead of the enemy. Because he's making advances all the time, but yet the Word of God tells us we win. We have the power with the Holy Spirit to overcome them, but we have to put on the armor of God. Put on the full armor. Have that helmet of salvation. Remember that you're saved in the midst of any trial. Put on that belt of truth. Hold up that shield of faith and that breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod in the gospel of truth. Standing firm on the truth of the Word of God. Man, having that there, that's your tunnels. That's your defenses. And you go forward then. It becomes an offense. We can offensively go after the gates of hell. And Jesus said they won't prevail against us. So let's move on now. Verse 10. Verse 10, and the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. So the taskmasters, they went out and they told the people, well, you're not going to get straw now. Then they tell in verse 11, go get yourself straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. They found whatever they could to just hold it together. In verse 13, and the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. Verse 14, also the officers of the children of Israel. Now notice, the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them. So these were a Hebrew people that the taskmasters had placed as officers over the other Israelites to try to oversee them and do that, that they had set them over. They were beaten. These officers were beaten by the taskmasters and were asked, "Why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before?" So they beat the officers because they hadn't met their quota. And verse 15, "Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, 'Why are you dealing thus with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants, and they say to us, "Make brick." And indeed your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people." But he said, "You are idle, idle. Therefore you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.'" Pharaoh won't get this out of his mind. This is really, every time somebody comes to him, "You're saying you want to go and sacrifice to your Lord. And so I'm saying, work, work, work." Verse 18 says, "Therefore go now and work, for no straw shall be given you. Yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble. Man, we're in trouble now. "We're in trouble after it was said, 'You shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota.'" So they went to Pharaoh. They cried out to Pharaoh and they said, "Why are you doing this?" And then they live there knowing they're in desperate trouble because he said they're not going to give them any straw and they're not going to reduce their quota. Well, you know, although we can sympathize with the children of Israel at this point, it's important, I believe, to really make note of the fact that their mistake was crying out to Pharaoh instead of crying out to God. See, they went and cried out to Pharaoh. Nothing happened. And I think overall the church universal for the last number of decades has failed in this too. Instead of crying out to the Lord, a lot of times we have, the body of Christ or Christians would go and cry out to the officials. They would sign petitions. They would do this. They would march against this. They would march against that. Well, you know what? The Lord says petition him for these things. And I've never seen any favorable result from petitioning man and from crying out to man. And we didn't, the Israelites found that out right here when they cried out to the Pharaoh and not to the Lord. See, are you having a hard time at work? Is your boss cracking the whip on you? Is your supervisor looking down on you? Are you co-workers demanding more of you than you think to be reasonable? Don't cry out to your boss. Cry out to the Lord first. Intercede. Chronicles says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land." That's what we need to petition. We need to be crying out to the Lord in these days in unity, in unified manner as the body of Christ, crying out, "Lord, your will be done." And then we need to receive his will and know that his purpose is being worked out no matter what takes place there. See, it seems so simple, and we know it to be true, but we must be, seemingly, we need to be reminded of this fact over and over again, to cry out to the Lord and not to man. Maybe we all need to be reminded of that. See, because it's so easy to cry to Pharaoh. It's so easy to cry out to man. It's so easy to cry out to your husband or to your wife, your brother or sister or pastor or elder. It's easy to seek out people when reality, what would God say to us? Well, Isaiah 30 verse 1 says this, excuse me, "Woe to the rebellious people who take counsel but not of me." Woe to the rebellious people who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Wow. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me. Boy, what a cry. Is the whip cracking? Is your back aching? It's time to cry out to the Lord, not to be rebellious. It goes back to what I started out with. Pharaoh didn't want to be obedient to the Lord, and the opposite of obedience is rebellion. And so rebellion, it says, is the sin of witchcraft. And so we don't want to be, we want to be obedient, not rebellious. We want to cry out to him first and foremost, as often and as much as we possibly can. And you know, it's our in our self-centered nature to look to man first, look to ourselves usually. Oh, Lord, I'm in this position. What am I going to do? Why, how can I fix this? Instead of just crying out to the Lord, saying, God, you see this. What am I going to do? What do you want me to do? And crying out to the Lord. And so we need to do that. We need to cry out to the Lord first and foremost. And then it goes on in verse 20. It says, then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. See, because they didn't get any help from Pharaoh as they cried out to him, the children of Israel, what did they do? They lash out at Moses and Aaron. That's kind of like whoever, you know, is that vessel for God, speaking God's truth, they get the blame. You know, and I talked about this Sunday, about bringing forth the truth of the Scriptures. Sometimes the truth of the Word of God steps on our toes. Sometimes it hurts to hear the truth, but yet God calls us all to tell the truth. We have to stand on the truth, even more so in the days that we're living in. So many of the religions of the world are compromising the truth of the Word of God. We can't afford to do that in these times. We got to teach the Word cover to cover, verse by verse, precept by precept, and the way that God intended it to be taught, so that we, as his children, can be able to walk in victory. So that when that trumpet sounds, man, we're out of here. And hopefully we can take as many people with us as we can. Is it okay, Tom? I know, you know, you got to stop putting that soap on it, you know. Stop greasing it. Love you, Tom. Okay. So, we're moving on, Lord. I have to give Tom a hard time every once in a while, you know. He won't think I love him if I didn't, you know. Verse 22 goes on. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? You know, there we are. I mean, again, I relate so much to Moses, because, you know, I argue with God about his calling on my life just as Moses did. I argue about God a lot of times. Why, Lord? Why this? You know, why that person? You know, come on, Lord. You know, why? And, you know, I always like to say, though, you know, one of the things that's going to make heaven heaven is the answer to why. You know, we're going to get there, and we're going to know why, and it's going to make so much sense. Oh, thank you, Lord, for allowing that to happen that way. You know, but he said, Moses said, return, why, Lord, have you brought this trouble on your people? Why is it that you have sent me? And then verse 23, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. It shows a little bit of impatience, a little bit on Moses' part, because he's like, I came and I'm doing what you're telling me, but ever since I've been here, look, now look what's happened. It's gotten worse. And it seems that's the way it is. You know, a lot of times people raise their hand to accept Jesus in their heart, thinking that life's going to be a rose garden. And then all of a sudden they realize that there's this spiritual target on their chest. And all of a sudden life gets a little bit harder. Well, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was going to make things better. Yeah, he will, but sometimes we go through a process of things being harder first. And so Moses is kind of there, that this place, you know, calling out to God, but praise God, he called out to God. You know, and I think that's one of the things that makes Moses great. Even though we see him constantly falling on his face before the Lord, what a mighty man he was. And I believe that his secret was just that. When people yelled at him, he didn't retaliate. He didn't try to make excuses. He didn't try try to make it better. He simply went before the Lord again and again and again. And I think that's a key for all of us, even in our life and in our world today. We need to be going to Jesus again and again and again, over and over and over, as much as we possibly can. Just having those reminders throughout the day to call out to the Lord. And I was showing Mark an app I have on my phone. It's called Echo. And then you put prayer requests in it, and you could set reminders throughout different times of the day that a little ding goes off on my phone. I look down, and it says, you know, pray for salvation. Pray for this. And I look down, I'm able just to be reminded to pray. And so we need to do that. We need to have those little reminders. We need to be able to call out to the Lord. Because if we don't have those tunnels built, especially, if we haven't been spending time in the Word and in fellowship and prayer, then when those attacks come, we need to have a way of coming, standing strong, standing on the truth of the Word of God, being able to go before the Lord. And so as we see in this chapter here, we see this difficulty that came upon the people of Israel. Moses and Aaron, they go to Pharaoh, and they say, let my people go. Just 3 days. 3 days. We're just going to go out in the wilderness a little ways and sacrifice to the Lord our God. And of course, Pharaoh, I don't know the Lord. What are you asking for days off for? It's going to get harder. And so the heat got turned up. It seems as we go closer to the Lord, sometimes the heat gets turned up. But praise God, like I said, about the inbox. He only gets us one spiritual thing in our inbox at a time. And then when we're obedient to do that, when we're obedient in all of those things, that the thing that he gives us, then he'll give us another thing. And praise God, it says in 2 Thessalonians 5:14, he is faithful who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. We don't even have to do the things that he calls us to do. He does them for us as long as we're obedient. And so be obedient today. Be obedient to tune in to that time, those tunnels that you need to dig. Be obedient to the calling that he has on your life to be fulfill that thing that he puts in your inbox tonight. Whatever it is, just do it, and do it with joy. You know, like I say, there's a joy in serving the Lord. We shouldn't be burdened down by it. We shouldn't, I got to go do that again. Oh, man. And all those kids in Sunday school again. I'm just going to tie them up this week. You see, you bring your roll of duct tape, you know. No, you know, Vicky's here. She does the Sunday school. She'd be the first to tell you what a blessing it is. You know, it's such a blessing. You learn, you know, when I first came to know the Lord, for the first 6 years, I taught Sunday night Sunday school. And I learned more from them kids than I've ever learned from any commentary or any study I've done. Those kids taught me a lot. Doing that 6 years on Sunday nights, doing that Sunday school. Me and another brother named Sam Butera, man, we did there every Sunday night. And I'll tell you what, we learned so much. A couple times I thought they were going to tie us up, but we survived. And you know what? It's not a scary thing. It's a blessing when you serve God. And it's a blessing to do that. And so to look to him in all things and in all ways, and just to praise him. And so tonight we got down a little early with chapter 5. I don't really want to move into chapter 6 tonight. I want to save that for next week. And so let's just go ahead and pray and go on about our evening and be blessed. So, Father, I just